Blog Talk Radio.
Christian talk and praise the Lord. We're all here, you're here, and we're happy, and I'm praying and hoping that you're happy that's listening. Hi, Pastor Tasila, how are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you doing? God bless everybody out there that's listening. Thanks for tuning in. Mm-hmm. I want to say hi
Lord.
To all our friends and family from all over the world. We have some friends. They are of the Adeniges. I want to say hi to them from Kenya.
Oh,
God
yes.
bless you guys.
God bless them. A real,
yeah.
real man of God.
Them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tune back in.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord. Well, what we want you to do right now, all of you who are listening right now, we would like for you to pick up your phones and or grab your computers or go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. 646-668-8537. Or just go to my Facebook page, T. Meyer McCain, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R. McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N, and click on the link for this particular broadcast if you choose to listen from your computer. You might also see our post on Instagram or Twitter. Just dial in, okay? I gave you the number. Also, we are on hsbn.tv, and our show is called The Message of Life. You should really check this out, The Message of Life on hsbn.tv. You can also catch us on Facebook Live, so keep your eyes open for that, still on HSBN.TV. So go to HSBN.TV and click on any of our television programs that you would want to see. Once you go there, it'll be a whole list of our programs that you can look at, okay? And listen, look and listen. So go ahead and choose any one of the programs. You will be blessed. We have a lot of them on HSBN, so just take your pick. You can also catch us on YouTube. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, and lo and behold, we'll pop up, and you can go ahead and go it'll take you right to HSBN.TV, and then you can go ahead and listen and watch the program. You can also find us on our find The Message of Life on our webpage. Just go to www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. And when you do that, just go to media, and then you click on media, and it'll take you right to HSBN.TV, and you can listen to the messages from there if you like, okay? And don't forget the book, our book. You have to tell people about this book. This is a real eye-opener. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. That's all you have to put. It's available on Amazon, and all you have to do is put, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery, and it'll pop right up. You can order it right then. You order it now, and you can get it within 2 days. Now, that's pretty good, okay? So go ahead and do that and tell your friends about it. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery on Amazon. It's available right now, so go ahead and do that. And, well, that's it for me. So in the meantime, I'm just going to ask you guys to stay right there. Let's get some worship going on real quick before we get right on into our program, okay? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Stay right there.
Check it out, y'all. He reigns. He reigns.
Man, yes, indeed. You are listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. And then, and you know, Pastor, to see, wait a minute, hold on. What is this? What's going on? Yep. Yes, indeed. You guessed it. You guessed it. It's that time. What time is it? It's TNT time on Christian Talk. And praise the Lord, Pastor Tassilo. Are you ready for TNT time?
I most certainly am. I can't wait.
I actually have a question for you. Have you ever wondered why are there so many stories in the Bible, different stories with different people? You ever wondered why and what's the purpose of all those stories? Well,
to unveil God.
That's right. It's an unveiling of Jesus Christ. Those stories point to Jesus Christ. These people that we read about in the Bible, these people are types and shadows of Christ. It's a little bit of Christ in all of these people, these patriarchs in the Bible, and their lives. A lot of these people's very lives is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Their very lives are. So anyway, that's what we're going to get into. What we're going to talk about tonight are types and shadows of Christ. Types and shadows of Christ. In other words, pictures. The Bible paints a picture of Jesus Christ in all of these stories. And here's why. In every generation since the fall of man, God has always looked for people with the characteristics of Jesus Christ. God had the man with the characteristics of Christ when he created Adam. But before God made Adam in his likeness and image, you know, he made Adam in his own likeness and image. Well, before he did that, he had to first create an image of himself. And that image that God created of himself was the glorified Jesus Christ. Then God made Adam after that image, which is the image of God. Adam was covered or clothed with the glory of God, which was the outraying of Jesus Christ. But Adam fell from that image by disobeying a direct command of God. You see, sometimes when we disobey, you have no idea what follows disobedience. A lot of times we make mistakes of disobeying God and things happen that we can't recover from. That's where repentance come in and calling on the name of the Lord. Now, God is looking to have his image and likeness again in the earth. God is still looking for a people or even a person who have the characteristics of Jesus. He wants a people.
It's more than that, because that's part of what being a Christian is, having Christ's characteristics.
That's right, having his characteristics. That's what God is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a people who has some qualities of Christ in them, and he found many throughout every generation. Every generation, God has found a people with a certain amount of Christ in them, characteristics of Christ. These people were a type of Jesus. Like, for example, Enoch. He was the seventh from Adam. That alone speaks a language. Seven is the number of perfection, completeness. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Enoch was a type of Jesus because he was born at the right time. Jesus was born at the meridian of time, the right time. And Enoch mingled with God. He pleased the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was a type of Jesus in that he pleased God, just like Jesus did, John chapter 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. This is Jesus talking. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus was translated into heaven after his resurrection. Elijah was also a type of Jesus. You know, just like, just going back to Enoch, you know, Enoch was taken and he was not found. Well, Jesus was also taken. He was translated into heaven after his resurrection. Elijah was also a type of Jesus as he was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talking about Elijah and Elisha, they were walking and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. In other words, separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. You see, Elijah was a type of Jesus, because when Elijah went up, he dropped his mantle, and Elisha picked it up and received a double portion of the Holy Spirit, which was the same Spirit that was on Elijah. But Elisha received a double portion. Well, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When Jesus went up, he dropped his mantle, and that mantle was the Holy Spirit, of whom his disciples received his mantle and carried him everywhere they went. His mantle is him, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of Jesus. We have received his mantle as well, and we are to carry him everywhere we go. For just as Elisha received a double portion of the Spirit of God, we shall receive the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, so that we can be the greater works people of Jesus Christ. We can be his greater works people, as it is written in John 14, verse 12. And this is what Jesus said himself. He said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that means those of us who continually believe in him, "the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And you always wondered, okay, Lord, why is it that we can do these greater works when you go to the Father? The only way we can do his greater works is if he goes to the Father and return to us as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God. And Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. So there you have it. And dwell in us. He comes back as the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and upon us. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Abraham was a man of faith. Jesus always told his disciples that they had no faith or little faith. God is looking for people who have faith in him, like Abraham, who was a type of Jesus when it came to faith in God. Now, we know that many other types and shadows will show Abraham as God the Father and Isaac as Jesus Christ. You know, it's like a type. But when it comes to faith, Abraham was a type of Jesus when it came to faith in God. Jesus showed faith in God, and his disciples finally got it. But after his resurrection, they became a type of Jesus on the earth themselves. That's why they were called Christians. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he, talking about Barnabas, had found him, talking about Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, why were they called Christians? Because they had the characteristics of Christ. They had the characteristics of the Jesus Christ they preached about. They were doing the works of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they were called Christ-like anointed ones. They were a type or shadow of Christ. Christians, that's what we are or supposed to be. Isaac, the son of Abraham, was a type of Jesus Christ in that he was the promised son, the heir of Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Jesus is God's heir or promised son, and the Lord has established a new covenant through him. Isaac was Abraham's promised son, and Jesus is God's heir or promised son. Joseph's life. Now, you know Joseph, the son of Jacob. He was one of the 12 brothers, okay? Joseph's life was a type of Jesus in that he went to the pit. And it's almost like to say it was the pit is a type of the grave, more so. And then was lifted up to be on the right hand of Pharaoh. Jesus went down to hell and was resurrected. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Therefore, God did not leave his soul in hell, as it is written in Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou, talking about God, will not leave my soul, that's the soul of Jesus Christ, in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, Jesus Christ, God's Holy One, to see corruption. The body of Jesus never saw corruption. And a lot of people read that scripture and they think that that's David speaking of himself, but David saw corruption, so he was not speaking of himself. That was Jesus speaking back then of his death, burial, and resurrection. He was speaking by the Holy Spirit through Jesus, through David. And now Jesus sits on the right hand of God, the Father. Just like Joseph was taken from the pit or from the prison, and he winded up being Pharaoh's right-hand man. Well, Jesus was taken from hell and was lifted up to be on the right hand of God, the Father. Peter is confirming this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, who is gone into heaven, talking about Jesus, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him, Jesus. Now, here's another one, Moses. Moses is another type of Jesus Christ. Moses was the mediator between the children of Israel and God when they were out in the wilderness. But today, Jesus is the mediator between God and man, all mankind. Moses was the lawgiver, which says, if you sin, you die. But Jesus established grace and faith and love and mercy. Joshua was a type of Jesus because he led the people on into the promised land. Jesus is leading us a narrow pathway into the promised land in this hour. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, ask the Lord to help you find that straight and narrow pathway that leads directly to him. Our promised land is heaven on earth. The changed world is our promised land, as it is written in Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. All things are to be made new in this hour, including our very bodies. We're all to be made new. Samson was a type of Jesus because of his anointing, which was in his seven locks of hair. Here we go again with seven, perfection, completeness. Judges 16, verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies, because she's been trying to get him to tell her where his strength lies. How can somebody bind you? She was pressuring him so much to tell him that. Why she really wanted to know that, and she's supposed to be his woman, you know. So why are you pressuring Samson to tell you how he could be bound? She said, you have mocked me, because he told her different things and it didn't work, you know. And so she said, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. I wouldn't have told her nothing. But he pressured her so much. And he said unto her, if you weavest or cut the seven locks of my head with the web, he told her how he could be bound. And she turned around and did it. And sure enough, he was bound. And the Philistines, the enemy came, and they took him and gouged out his eyes and wanted to make him a mockery. But what they didn't know is that his hair grew back. So that perfection came back, and that strength and power came back. And he killed more people at his death than he did while he was alive. Just like Jesus defeated more of his enemies at his death than he did when he walked the shores of Galilee, because he defeated Satan at his death, his burial and resurrection. And now he is the King of Glory. He is our champion. Jesus was anointed with the sevenfold power of Holy Spirit and power. That's perfection, pure perfection. And that anointing will never leave him. And we shall receive that very same anointing shortly. Did you hear me? I said shortly. We have to be ready for it. Samson was also a child of the promise, just as Jesus was. Judges 13, verses 3, 4, and 5. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. She can't have any kids, but thou shalt conceive. He said, oh, right now you can't have any kids, but you will. You shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray you, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. A Nazarite is an Israelite consecrated to the service of God, under vows to abstain from alcohol, let the hair grow and avoid defilement by contact with corpses. Jesus was a child of the promise. This is what the angel Gabriel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. He said in thy womb, not in your egg, but in your womb. That's a whole nother revelation by itself, but I'm going to keep going. And bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So just as it was prophesied that Samson was to be born, so was it prophesied that Jesus was to be born. King David was a type of Jesus in many ways. He defeated Goliath, which was a type of Jesus defeating Satan. David was a mighty warrior and champion. You know, he never lost a battle. Just as Jesus is our champion, God's fighter, our banner. David had a powerful army of mighty men. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22. Every day more men joined David, and his army became large like the army of God. Jesus also has a very powerful army of mighty anointed people in this hour. Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture, which is a covering garment, like a robe, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. David's army followed him, and Jesus' army followed him. Now understand that when John the Revelator was talking about this great army, he was talking from his time, looking to our time. So when we are the army of the Lord, and that's why he said he saw in heaven the armies that followed him, and they were on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So these are saints. This is us that's following Jesus as Jesus come to judge the world. We follow him wherever he goes with power. David is a type of Jesus because he brought Israel and Judah together so that he would be king over all Israel. Jesus is bringing Israel and Gentiles together so that Jesus will be king of all mankind. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 18. And this is so important, you know, and I hope everyone is really listening to this. And this may be a lesson if people just read their Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. This is Paul speaking. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, he's talking to Christians and reminding Christians, like reminding us, that in times past we were Gentiles, heathens, in other words, you know, in the flesh. We were uncircumcised. We were like other nations, defiled in the eyes of Israel, who were actually circumcised. We uncircumcised, they were circumcised. So we were called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Israel being circumcised called us uncircumcised. That at that time, Paul is still reminding us, that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't have anything to do with Israel. We were worldly people in times past and strangers from the covenants of promise. We didn't know nothing about the covenants that Israel was under, having no hope because we were Gentiles in the world and without God in the world. And we were. We didn't really know God. We didn't know Jesus. We were heathens, uncircumcised. Then he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. We at one time was far away from God. Now we have been brought very close, near to God by the blood of Jesus. We are now close to God just as close as physical Israel because of Jesus Christ. And no more strangers. We are circumcised now, but circumcised in our hearts, which is what God prefers. A circumcision in the heart. He goes on to say, for he is our peace, meaning Jesus is our peace, who have made both one. He has made both one. We are considered to be one in Christ. Both Israel and Gentiles can now become one in Christ, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no more a separation between Gentile and Israel. That means the Gentiles and Israel who have accepted Christ. There's no more of a separation now. Having abolished in his flesh, in the flesh of Jesus, he abolished himself, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself, in Jesus, of twain, that is to say of two different types of people, Israel and Gentiles, to make of two people one new man, the Christian, Christ-like people, little anointed ones. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both Israel and Christianity unto one God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We are to be one people in Jesus Christ. No more a separation. And a lot of Christians separate themselves, calling themselves Gentiles and calling Israel the ones that are circumcised or the blessed people. But when you're in Christ, you are the blessed people. You are no more Gentiles. So don't call yourself a Gentile. You're God's people. You are a Jew. You are just as much an Israelite as an Israelite. And an Israelite is just as much a Christian as a Christian when you have Christ. Continuing, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. The word came to us, who was far away from God, and brought us near to him. And to them that were nigh, that is to say to Israel, who had the covenant at first, they were already, supposedly, they were already close to God, you know. For through him, that is through Jesus, we both have access, both Christians and Israel have access by one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, unto God the Father. Israel and Gentiles who receive and accept Jesus Christ are now Christians. They're one people. They're Jews. It's hard for a lot of people to accept that, but I had to say that. The point I'm trying to make is that God wants to see his likeness and image again upon the earth. But the only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ. Jesus showed his disciples God's likeness and image in him. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. His raiment, his clothing, was white as the light. Jesus showed Peter, James, and John what they were about to be. He gave them a glimpse of what they were going to become. Jesus unveiled himself to them. Jesus gave them a revelation of who he truly is. He gave them a revelation of who he is right before their faces. And now we are to be like Jesus in every way, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Did y'all hear me? We are to be like Jesus in every way, mentally, physically, and spiritually, while we are yet on this earth. We have to reflect something about Christ in us and upon us. While we're yet on this earth and in the world, Jesus is king, and he made us kings and priests, as it is written in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is what Jesus is doing in us. He's making us kings and priests, and we will reign with him on the earth. That's why Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the King over and above all the kings of the earth. Nobody can come close. But he is especially the King of the kings that he has established. Revelation 19, verse 16, and he hath on his vesture, that's on his robe, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are his priests in this hour. He's our high priest, but we are his priests in this hour. And our priesthood is an everlasting priesthood. It is the Melchizedek priesthood. This is the highest priesthood that a man could ever receive. It's greater than the priesthood of Aaron and the Levites and all of that. And that doesn't even come close. As a matter of fact, the Levites and Aaron were a type and shadow of this priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, by their clothing. It painted a picture of the Melchizedek priesthood. And the writer of Hebrews confirms this, that we are a part of this priesthood in Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And the Lord told me that one day in a dream. He said, we are high in heaven. He said, we are high in heaven. Jesus made us his shepherds in this hour, and we are to feed his sheep and his lambs, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Understand, shepherds, pastors, we are the Lord can use any one of you listening to me right now. He can use any one of you as pastors. He can put people under you for you to feed, for you to minister to. And he wants us to feed his sheep. You could have three people under you. You're still a shepherd. You got to feed his sheep. You could have 300. It doesn't matter. 3,000. Feed his sheep and his lambs. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Also in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and the entire flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This goes for a lot of you pastors that might be listening. Keep watch over yourselves and the entire flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus is Lord of Lords. He has established us as lords upon the earth. And as lords, we hold offices or positions in his kingdom, such as a king, a governor, a prince, a prophet, a shepherd or pastor, or a captain in God's army. We are those who have the authority of Jesus Christ, and we use his authority to glorify God the Father. That's what it's for. That's why we have authority. Many people don't realize that we have authority in Christ Jesus, but we have to use it for the glory of God the Father. He has established us. Therefore, we are lords, and he is the Lord of Lords. Then after we have completed our offices, our ministry, our purpose upon the earth, then we are changed. We are to be conformed to the image of his Son. as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Only the Spirit of the Lord can make that change in us. This has been God's plan from the very beginning, to have a people after his likeness and image, which is the likeness and image of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he wants us to become the sons of God, as it is written in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received him? Do you believe in his name? Then he has given you the power to become one of his sons. Let's go for women too. Women can be sons of God. If a man can be a bride of Christ or the bride of Christ, women can be the son, one of the sons of God. Now, we can look forward to our change, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 15:53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, we are to become a people who can never be destroyed. Think about that. We are to become a people that can never die. We can never be destroyed. Then finally, God will see his likeness and image upon the earth like it was in the beginning when God said these words, let us make man in our image after our likeness. But this time, we will be better than Adam and Eve were in the beginning. Then we can be fruitful and multiply according to the word of God and according to his will, according to the will of God, and fill the earth with true, real, born-again people. Really true, not just people that say I'm born again, but people who are born again and can prove it. You are born of God and you can prove it. Jesus could prove that he was born, that he was a son of God. He was born of the Holy Spirit, and we will be able to prove it. A lot of times now, we just say it, I'm born again, but we will be able to prove it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We will complete that Adam and Eve failed to do. We will complete the Great Commission. Then we will be changed. We shall see him as he is, as it is written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is our goal. That's our destiny. We will no longer be a type or shadow of Christ, but we will be Christ because Christ, Jesus, will be in us. We will be one with the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17. He prayed for oneness, that we will be one in him and the Father, just like Jesus is one with the Father. And that's a true oneness. He said, God is in me and I am in him. And he wants us to be in them, in him, which is being in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants oneness. That is such a great blessing. That is a great thing. You may not understand it and how deep it is, but there's no greater blessing than to be truly, literally one with God the Father, your Creator, being one with him, in him. That's the message. Praise the Lord.
Woo!
That when you really think about it, Pastor Tasila, I mean, my goodness, just the thought of it, when you really grasp it, can really blow your mind. It really can.
Yeah, I wanted to read that. I love that. This is like one of my really, truly favorite passages in the Bible. And I'm going to explain why. Because when I talked to the Lord about this, he gave me a vision of us being one. Him, a bigger than me, but me and him in me. So I actually saw this. But I wanted to show this, how God is asking the Father, like his last prayer, of he's praying to be glorified, and that not only that he will be glorified, but that we will be glorified and made one in him. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, where is that at? It's in John 17. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Bring glory to the Father. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on the earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, whole world, but for those that you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Who are they being one with? He's saying so that they may be one, just like Jesus and the Father is one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. That name you gave me, none has been lost. I am coming to you. I skipped over a little 12 into 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. A lot of people out there, they really want to know why they don't get along or they don't fit. And Jesus told you right here that the world hates you, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. If you were of the world, they would love you, and they would invite you to lunch and invite you to all their parties and showers and everything. But because you're not, they don't like you. He says they hated me. They hated, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may too may be truly sanctified. Oh, I love this scripture so much. I love the way this last prayer of Jesus, he's saying when he goes down to 21, he says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe. That is God's will. And a lot of times when you say stuff like that, people are like, oh, blasphemy.
Yeah. Right.
But Jesus is saying it right here. You go, you read John, and you go down to 17:21, he says things like, even when he told people that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that just drove people nuts. But he was trying to say, then you're going to have him, his life in you. But in here he's saying that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Oh, man, I love that. And then it goes on at 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Oh, my God. I love it.
That's so deep.
So that
is
they
a
may
very
be brought to complete unity. It is. I am so glad it's more to Christianity than meets the eye.
I know,
you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Oh, my God. The Lord has so much for you guys. He loves you so much. And he just didn't die just for stinky sins, even though you have to have a covering, a blood covering. But he bought your change, your immortality, your eternal immortality and change, and he brought your unity with the Father and him. Like their one, he's praying that we will be able to have that same oneness. And and only these are revelations that come from the Holy Spirit. If you don't go study it, ask the Lord, Lord, open that up. What are you talking about? Right,
yeah.
Pastor T?
Yeah.
That's how
I got
it.
Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. And we really, any time Pastor Tasila and myself, when we bring forth the word of God, oh, we just pray that you, that your heart and mind is open to receive the revelation of the Lord, and that you will wax strong and grow. Our time is running out, so I just want to say thank you for tuning in. We'll be here again next week. God bless you all. Goodbye.
Good night.